Amen. I'm excited to be here tonight.
Amen.
And I always like coming up Tennessee and Knoxville area. And I just like the mountains in general. And so that's one of my favorite things to do. We got a few mountains in Georgia, but not quite like Tennessee does. And so me and my friend, we've been all over Tennessee. And we like to go on adventures, you know. So we've been able I've been able to go hiking lots of places, things like that. And so it's been a blessing what Lord's allowed me to be able to do in my life. And but I'm Andrew Wilder, and heading to the country of Bolivia. And I grew up in a little small town called Hartwell, Georgia. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of that. Anybody here ever heard of that? Hartwell, Georgia. Okay, you've had heard, brother? Okay. And so it's near South Carolina. So you're looking at a map here. You got northeast Georgia over here on the side. You got South Carolina bordering it. And so I'm right down the line. And so if you're going up 85, it's the last exit before you get to South Carolina. If you're going down 85, it's the first exit going into Georgia. There we go. I was getting confused there, what I was trying to say. And but I was born in Anderson, just grew up over there right across the border in Hartwell. And then I had the opportunity to grow up in a great Christian home and family. I really do praise the Lord for that. Amen. And so ever since, I guess I was in my mama's belly, I guess, I've been going to church. And so as you and I know, though, growing up in church and having a Christian family don't mean that you're saved. And so I had to make that personal decision to follow Christ as my Savior at the age of 7. And so I put my faith and trust in Him. And I remember I continued to grow up and loved to play sports. I don't know why. Sports is just one of the things I love to do. And I remember I got into middle school, and my mom was like, all right, we got to sign this guy up for something. He's just got too much energy, you know. I said, all right. I said, I won't play anything I got, you know. And so sure enough, walked to this little table, and it was a cross-country table. And so sure enough, I signed up for it, and I began to run miles and miles and miles. You know, that began my running career. And then also that same year, ran track. But I didn't really like running around in circles, you know what I mean? I felt like a hamster or something like that, you know. So I quit doing track and then started playing soccer. One of my best friends, his name was Angel, he kind of introduced me to the sport, and I never played really in my life. I think I played maybe when I was younger as a kid, but I never really played, and he taught me a few things, and then sure enough, ended up being kind of decent at it, and just worked real hard, and then finally played all the way to my senior year of high school. But I also played football. I got to playing football in 10th grade, and so I pursued that all the way to my 12th grade year as well. And I remember thinking, what am I going to do? At the time, I was 17 years old. Y'all ever been there, you know? Mm-hmm. I was 17. I was like, what am I going to do with my life? And I began to look at all these, you know, tests, you know, online, you know, what's your interest or what's your career capability and all this different stuff. And I didn't really know what kind of opportunity there was out there. But I remember there was a little school called Reinhardt University. Everybody ever heard of that? You've heard that one? You have heard that one? Reinhardt University, a little bit small little school in Waleska, Georgia. And if you know anything about Waleska, you know there's nothing there but woods and one of those Dollar Generals, brother. We was just talking about Dollar Generals earlier, you know. You go out anywhere, the boondocks, and there's going to be a Dollar General just sitting on the side of the road somewhere, you know what I mean? And so, but I went there for a year, and believe it or not, was studying biology and wanted to later on become a physical therapist. But I got talking with my professors, and they said, well, you know, if you do that, you got to go 8 years of school, right? I go, well, nope, I don't want to do that. And I said, well, I'm back down to ground zero. I don't really know what I want to do. But I know that we was in the full swing of football season, so we traveled up to a school up in Kentucky. And I remember I ran down on that opening kickoff. Me and this guy, we hit each other. I remember going and going to the sidelines. And I felt this weird, sharp pain in my shoulder. Well, it come to find out, a few weeks later, I had an MRI done. They said, yep, sure enough, you've torn your labrum inside of there. And so so I had a set date for surgery and everything. That was going to be coming up. I think that was in December when I had it set, so I still was able to pursue through my first semester there of college and finish up that football season. And then I remember I went back home for the holidays around December. I was about to have the surgery and went to church. And guess who showed up at the church? A missionary did. And he got talking to me and my brother about missions.
And I didn't really know too much about missions at the time. You know, I was just big into sports, and you know, everybody's goal was in high school is if you make it as a college athlete, that's the best thing in the world you can do. You know, and so that was my goal. That's what I wanted to do. And so I remember he got talking about that and invited us to go to this missions camp later on in the summer. Well, I didn't really think too much about it, you know, but we kind of signed up for it. And then I remember going back to my spring semester of college and was still trying to figure out, you know, what kind of career I wanted to choose, what kind of major I wanted to major in, and just trying to figure out what I wanted to do in my life. And I remember a little small church over there called Rock of Ages Baptist Church. I love that church to death, and they've been a blessing and a help to me. The pastor was, he kind of just took me in under his wing, I guess. And he was a younger guy, and so we could really connect, and he was just there for me when I didn't have nobody else there at the school, you know, to kind of be a spiritual influence in my life. And so that was great during that time, and I remember the Lord birding me about trying to tell others about Jesus. And so I began to try to tell my teammates about him, and one guy actually came to church with me, and then I told another guy, and one of my classmates, and he ended up coming to church with me. And so that was a great blessing, you know, that the Lord began to work in my life and in college. And then I remember saying, Lord, I said, I don't know what you want me to do, but God helped me to show it to me, find what you want me to do. So I said, well, I'll just go ahead and just withdraw from the school here. I finished my spring semester, and I said, well, I'll go ahead and quit the football team. And I said, I'm tired of deciding what I want to do. I just want to be told what to do. And so I said, hey, the military, right? And so I had a set date to go to MAPS down in Atlanta on a Monday for the National Guard. I wanted to do the reserves because I wanted to still do my education. And so I had a soccer tryout at a little small school called Tocoa Falls College. That was on a Saturday. And so, but guess what was the week before those two things? That missions camp. And so it just had to be a God thing, a God time, and especially looking back and thinking how the Lord, you know, just laid everything out the way He did. And so that week I got to go, and for the first time in my life, I realized that, hey, there's a whole bigger world out there than just Georgia. You know what I mean? There's a, you know, a Tennessee, you know, and we've got Canada. You know, you've got Africa, you've got South America, you've got, you know, Asia, all those countries. And I said, well, you know what? Who's going to go tell those people about Jesus? And really, just the Lord just convicted me. And I said, Andrew, what are you doing with your life? And I said, God, I said, I don't know. I said, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And so that very moment, you know, I just kind of made a split decision. Said, God, I'm just going to give it all to you. And at that time, I said, oh, no, I just gave up my life. You know what I mean? What did I just get myself into? But let me tell you, it's the best thing I ever did. You know, the Bible talks about he that gains the whole world, you know, loses his own soul. And in the Bible talks about also he that findeth his life loses it, but he that loses his life findeth it. And that's so true. Those verses are so true because I've seen it in my life, you know. I thought I had a plan, you know. I thought I was going the way I should have been going in my own eyes. But when I gave everything to God, He gave me a whole new life. And it's been the best life I could ever imagine. I've gotten to go to four countries now. I put up five, but I went to four. I've been to four countries now. I've been to, got to live in Bolivia for 6 months. I've been to Brazil. I've gotten to go to Peru. And I just got back this past week from Cuba. And so that was a great opportunity. My pastor and our youth pastor went down there, and they wanted to bring in some other youth pastors, kind of like a little short little missions trip to be able to encourage them about, you know, reaching their youth and talk to them about missions. And so because we believe that we can truly reach the world in our generation, but it's going to be through the young people. And we've got to, you know, the world's going to be pressing on to them, you know, hey, do this with your life, do that. You know, but we gotta get the young people and say, hey, why don't you live for God? Why don't you be a missionary? Why don't you do something in the ministry or something like that? You know, and so that's what we wanted to kind of do during that week. And so it was a great eye opener for me to be able to see the country there. But just to say all that, I remember after that, I went ahead and called off the soccer tryout. I called off the MEPS and moved in with my parents for a short time. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And was just bagging some groceries at a little local grocery store. And the camp was held by Vision Baptist Church and Vision Baptist Missions. And so they had a little training center there. They call it the Our Generation Training Center. And so I applied online, sure enough, ended up going, moving down there to Alpharetta, Georgia, and I didn't know what to think. You know, I grew up in a little smaller town called Hartwell, you know, but then I moved to the suburbs above Atlanta, you know, so I'm thinking, wow, you know, this is nice. All these Mercedes-Benz cars and all these nice fancy houses. I'm thinking, wow, I guess it's how people live, you know, wow, you know. And so at the time I was driving a little bitty Chevrolet Cavalier. Y'all ever seen one of those? You know. And now I got me a little truck out here. I love that little truck to death. I've been through a couple cars on deputation already. How many of them been through? Three, I think. And so finally went up with a truck. So, hey, praise the Lord for that. Last year, I had me a Geo Tracker. Y'all ever seen one of those? A 93 Geo Tracker. That thing is older than I am. And I bought it with 150-something thousand miles on it. And now it's got 200, probably close to 220. So I've put like over 60,000 miles on it last year. And let me tell you what, that's been the most faithful little car I've ever had. And I was coming home from Alabama one night, and the pastor offered to put me up. And I was like, no, pastor, I got it, you know. I'll be fine. And so I was kind of dozing, you know, off on asleep, you know. And I started going around this curve. And then next thing you know, a hydroplane went off and flipped. And I remember I landed on all four of my tires, and I put it in first and just drove right off. I don't know how. I'm still alive, but I guess God's got a plan for my life, amen. I don't know. But I tell you what, I wrecked another car that way. I felt like I was on something on NASCAR, you know what I mean? They go around them curves and blow out a tire or something like that. I was, and ended up hitting a concrete barrier, and then messed all up. I was able to drive it off the exit, though. It was rolling on the rims, but I made it off, and ended up selling it the next day for $1,000. So hey, it wasn't a bad deal. And I had another little car too, and I hit a tree or something with that one. But praise the Lord, no more accidents, Lord willing. And so I've been good for a few months now. So praise the Lord for that. So hopefully I'll just keep the streak going. And but hey, at least it didn't involve nobody else. You know, as long as it's just me. And so I can take a beating, you know. But then I moved down over there. We're just delivering, you know, pizzas and just trying to survive, you know. And going through all the training. Got my Bible classes, my missions classes. And got to work at the church and be the outreach director. And got to work with the kids' Sunday school class. I always say that's the best way. If you want to learn how to teach or preach, just go do that to the kids, you know. And because the kids going to look at you and go, well, that was terrible. You know what I mean? And but, you know, adults are usually a little more nicer, you know. You get done preaching or something, they're like, oh, that was so good, you know. And so, but I love preaching to the kids. I just like cutting up with them, you know. But then I remember after that, they said, well, you finished all your classes and all your needed training and everything. They said, well, now it's time for you to spend 6 months overseas somewhere. I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. What I got myself into, you know? I forgot that being a missionary meant you had to go overseas, you know? And so I said, oh, no. And so I was the first person in my family, I think my brother, he has his passport now. He's been to Nicaragua. But I think I was the first person in my family to get a passport. And so I tell you what, I got that passport. I don't even know where to go, to be honest. And so I finally got it. You know, it was fresh off the press. Was able to raise support for those 6 months. And then headed over there to Bolivia. And I tell you what, I didn't know what to think. As you probably tell, you know, I speak redneck. And so over there they speak Spanish, you know. And so I said, hola, you know, and como estas, you know. And so I began to speak, you know, a little bit of Spanish. I took 2 years of high school, but I didn't learn a thing. I didn't learn a lick. But then got into a language school over there and learned a lot. Got to speak it with the people. That was over there, and so it was good to go back to Cuba and actually practicing my Spanish a little bit. I was like, yes, I actually know a few things, you know. I'm not like these other gringos. That's what they call white people, you know. I'm not like these other white people that don't know nothing, you know. And so I can order off the menu. I can get around, you know. I can do stuff like that. And so I understand a lot of it, especially if they just kind of like, you know, just say it And even if they say it fast, you know, I can still understand, but just take me a minute to process it. You know what I mean? So I just kind of look at them. They're like, oh, you don't understand. They kind of move on. I'm like, no, I need you to just, you know, focus with me for a minute. It takes a special person, you know. Say a little Chinese person comes up to you. Y'all ever had that, you know? And they're like, you know, you're like, what did you just say? You know what I mean? So it takes a special person, you know, to kind of work with that, you know? And so I understand. But yeah, but then after that, I remember whatever the missionary did, I did, and had the opportunity to learn a lot of cultural things, you know. It's not like here in the States where we got Amazon, you know, in 2 days, whatever you want shows up at your doorstep, you know, and they ain't got that, you know. So you got to go to the markets, you got to get yourself out there, be able to get stuff. And so I had to learn a few things like that, and the whole taxis. I didn't have no car, so I had to go learn how to do taxis and trophies and learn how to eat all kind of different foods. I tell you what, never in my life I thought I'd get to eat all kind of different foods like that. You ever had cow tongue, cow stomach? And then some other plate, I didn't ask. They started off with the cow tongue, and they went to the cow stomach, and then I was like, Lord have mercy, I hope they ain't keep going down the line here. And so, praise the Lord, I didn't ask what was on that third plate. But then they had brought a fourth plate of some rice and some vegetables, praise the Lord. I knew what that was, you know. And so that was pretty good. But I got to eat all kind of stuff. I tell you what, cow hearts, they call them anticuchos, chicken feet soup, all kind of crazy stuff over there. But they also have these things called mondongo, which is kind of like just fried intestines. It's not bad, but it depends on who cooks them. And so it's kind of, some of them are really fatty and chewy. That's just nasty. I can't stand that. If it's just like popcorn, you know, just kind of melting in your mouth, that's what you want. Not popcorn, but candy. What was it called? That's like, what do you call that? Stuff at the, oh my goodness. Cotton candy. There we go. Cotton candy. Thank you. Thank you. Man, I'm losing my English too. I need to start preaching in Spanish there. But yeah, and so I got to do all kind of stuff like that there in Bolivia. And then I remember then after that, they said, well, your 6 months was up. It went by quick. And then I remember coming back here to the States, and then in 2018 started full-time deputation. And so God's been blessing tremendously at 51% now. And just heard the last few weeks of churches that want to potentially take me on. So God's doing big stuff in my life. And please be praying for me. I've got two big goals for 2020 that I'm trying to really push towards and trying to see fulfilled in 2020. First off is to be able to raise the rest of my needed support here in 2020. And not only that, to be able to find a special someone in my life for 2020. And so as you probably tell, I ain't got no ring on my finger, so I'm a single guy, you know. And so trying to find definitely the right one for my life and everything. And so those are two big goals, so please be praying with me for that. And I'm just excited. And never in my life have I been more excited to get down there. And so God's been doing a work in my life, so please be praying for me. But have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter. And I just feel like going here tonight, and I just hope this will be a help and a blessing to you and an encouragement to you tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 5, 1 Peter chapter number 5, and this verse has been a help and a blessing to me, and I actually just wrote a devotional on it today, this morning, and it's just been a help in my life, and this verse has, and just helps me to realize, you know, someone does really care for me. You know, do y'all ever realize that? You know, you ever, you know, get kind of in your feelings some days, you know, does anybody ever care for me? Does people even care what I do? You know, say you're working a job, you know, they don't care what I do. I come in, I work like a dog, you know, no one appreciates me. No one cares for me. You ever feel like that, you know? Pastor, you might come up here and say, man, I work all these hours trying to prepare a message, and man, nobody cares. You know what I mean? I preach it, and everybody forgets it. Come back on Sunday night, nobody even knows what I preached about. You know what I mean? And then, you know, we kind of feel like that often, you know? And even for maybe you might be single in here or something. But a lot of times you might say, well, nobody wants me. You know, nobody cares for me. It's easy to get those thoughts, right? And the devil to penetrate us and get those thoughts in us. But it's easy to think that way. It's easy to feel as your family don't care about you. It's easy to feel about your friends don't care about you. We've talked about it, your coworkers, your boss. It's easy to get those type of feelings. But you know what? There is someone that cares for you. And that's God. God cares for you tonight. And I think that's the best encouragement we can ever hear. God cares for you and wants you. Each and every person in this building. Well, let's go ahead and read that verse. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 7. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He cares for you. And I want you to think about that for a moment. You know, I love to think about this. I'm a big nature guy. But I want you to think about this big galaxy that we live in. We call it the Milky Way, right? I ain't talking about the candy bar, you know, but this big galaxy out there. And then you got all those planets and stars and moons and all that other galaxy dust and all that type of stuff. And we live on this planet called Earth, right? And looking from space, you know, you can't see people on there, but we're there, you know. We're sitting there walking around, you know, doing our daily stuff. And God cares for us. Think about that. Out of all this out there, out of all that he could be wanting to care about or wanting to have a relationship with, he wants a relationship with you, an intimate relationship with you. God cares for you. So first and foremost, realize that. You know, not only that, but that's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for you. The Bible says, John 15:13, it says, for greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. He didn't say, oh, just for those people. Oh, just for so-and-so. He said, for his friends. He made it personal there. He made it a friendship. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So that's how we know that God cares for us. That's how we know that God loves us. We all know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. And that's why it's so important for missionaries. Because not only does God love people right here in Knoxville, Tennessee, people here in America, but God loves people all over the world. Amen. He cares for them. And I know for so long I grew up neglecting people around the world. You know what? And I've really been burdened lately. I'm thinking, well, you know, if I don't go to Bolivia, who's going to go? Who's going to care for those people? Who will? You know, who's going to care for people? But you know what? We're going to talk about here in a minute. But you can care for people too. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But realize that God cares for you. Not only that, look at the first part of that verse. It says, casting all your care upon him. You know, that word casting there means to throw all your care, worries, and anxiety on him. I saw a preacher one time. He was preaching on this verse. He says, do y'all know what that means? And he took off his suit coat and he said, throw it on it. And he threw it out in the congregation. It made me start dying out laughing. But he says, you know what? Just throw it all on God. You know what? Don't we get burdened with a lot in our lives? You know, we might have a loved one, you know, might pass away. We might have friends and family who are going through problems. You know, I know a lot of my friends who are going through, you know, drugs and alcohol and sexual things. And it kind of breaks your heart, don't it? Amen. And it's just, it's a struggle to have to deal with. And I know my parents are hurting with a lot of things going on. And I just know so many people out there who just so are burdened and worrisome, you know, who might be finances for you. I don't know. And it's easy to get so burdened down with all these cares and worries and anxieties of life. But you know what? God says, hey, just throw all that on him. Amen. He says, hey, just cast it all on God. You might say, well, how can I do that? God seems far away. You ever seen that? I mean, you ever felt that way? You know, he seems so distant. You know, God, I can't see God. I can't feel God. He seems so distant, right? But you know what? How we go to God is through prayer. Through prayer we go to him. And that's how we can go to him. It's through prayer. And that's what it means there. Casting all your care upon him is what that means. The answer there is prayer. Realize that you have the Holy Spirit. If you're saved tonight, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And that will make intercession for you, will help you pray. This is good. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, 27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that incredible? Have you ever felt that way? Like, God, I just don't know what to say right now. You know, you go to him and you're so burdened down with life. You just get so tired and fed up with life. You think, I don't even know what to say to you, God, right now. But the Bible says right there that the Spirit inside of us helpeth our infirmities. Not only that, but it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but it says that the Spirit maketh intercession for us. How incredible is that? You know? And so, not only that, but it says there in verse number 27, he searches the hearts. So he already knows. He already knows what we're going through, what kind of situations we're in. And he says, you know, he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's incredible. I love that. That's what God does for us. We cast our care upon him, and that's what he does for us. Not only that, but God wants to hear from you in comfort and help you during your time of need. You know, a lot of times, you know, when we might get caught up in something that we shouldn't have, or sometimes we're going through things, we think that, oh, I shouldn't go to God about it. He definitely don't want to hear from me. He's mad at me, you know. No, that's not the case. God loves you. God cares from you. He's saying, if you just come back to me, I'd listen to you. I'd care for you. I'd be there for you. Just think about over there in Exodus. You know, time after time again, what did Israel do? Turn their back on God, right? And one round in the wilderness just going on, Lord, I ain't got no meat to eat. Lord, I ain't got no meat. Where's the water at, God? I ain't got no water to drink. They just complaining over and over, you know. I wish we was back in Egypt, you know. At least we ate good over there, you know. Had some fried chicken, some greens, you know, to eat, you know, something. And it's over and over, you know. Well, what did God do? He cared for them. And not only that, but he granted a lot of their wishes. He said, all right, you want some meat, I'll give it to you. You want some water, I'll give it to you. That's what God does for us. God truly does care for us. And I've seen that in my life. I've got stories after stories I could tell you how I've been taken care of. I mean, just stuff I was thinking about. You know, next thing you know, I get a call or, I don't know, just something crazy out of the blue. It just had to be God, you know. My whole life story pretty much is God, you know. The reason why I'm alive right now is because of God, you know. And so God truly does care for us. The Bible says in Psalms 55:22, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I like that. Again, it says, hey, cast all thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He's going to take care of you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I like that. Never the righteous to be moved. Philippians 4:6 says the same thing. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And we can, right? You know, I think a lot of times, especially in America, man, we get so caught up with just the material things, don't we? And I just took a trip to Cuba. And, I mean, they're just trying to live off the basics, you know what I mean? Like, I know it's not a very poor country, but a lot of the stuff they have, like the water and the groceries in the store, I mean, it's not even there. I mean, they have to wait in long lines whenever they ship it in because all the socialism and communism, you know, the government runs everything and regulates what they can buy and get and everything. And so, but they're not, you know, necessarily worried about all that materialistic stuff like we got, you know. I mean, good night, we see something scrolling through social media or something like that. Oh, that's a nice pair of shorts, you know. I think I look good in those, you know. Or, oh, that's a nice pair, that's a nice dress, you know. I look good in that, you know, or something like that. And we just focus all our time and efforts. I know I was a young person, you know. I still like, you know, I've got to be careful about this truck out here. You know, I put new tires on it, you know. So you got to be careful about stuff. We get so caught up on the materialistic stuff. And next thing you know, I'm like, oh, man, my focus is off, you know, and I'm just all messed up. I'm not even thankful for what I got. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, you know what? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Amen.
And we truly can be thankful tonight, people. We truly can. I'm blessed tonight. You know what? I'm thankful for these shoes I got on, you know. These shoes were actually bought for me. Someone paid for them. This suit I got on, these pants and this jacket, someone paid for that for me too. This shirt right here, I bought that one, I think. This tie right here, I think my mom got me this one, I think. No, someone else did, I think. And so I tell you what, I'm just blessed. You know what I mean?
Amen.
And I'm just thankful for everything. I really am. God's been so good to me. I got a list of things I wrote out one day. And a wise old lady told me one time, she says, if you ever get down and out, just go through the ABCs. And she says, just go down through there and just realize all the things you're thankful for. You know, so say A, you know, just whatever you're thankful for. B, you know, whatever you're thankful for. And just write it out, you know. And it's true. Well, we got so much to be thankful for. So not only that, but God will hear your prayers and answer them according to His will. Read the book of Psalms, and you will see what I mean.
Amen.
Psalms is incredible. You know, you got David who's pouring out his heart to God. I mean, he's pretty straight up with God too. Like he didn't leave nothing out. You know, he's like, God, I'm just going to talk to you like I talk to someone else, and he just pours his heart out to God, and that's what we can do. You know, a lot of people think, you know, when we pray to God, it's like, oh, Lord, Heavenly Father. We kind of get in this different accent, don't we? You know what I mean? We kind of put on a little show, you know? But no, God don't want to hear that. Just talk to Him normal. You know, just talk to Him like you talk to your mom or your dad or your friend, you know? That's God. He's our friend. He's our friend. He's our Savior. He's our God. He's a lot of things. But God, He just wants to hear from you. He just wants to hear from you. Not only that, but not only does God care for you, and not only does He want you to cast all your care upon Him, but we also should be caring for others.
Amen.
We should be caring for others. I believe a lot of times we have all these worries and cares is because we are too self-focused. And I believe it's so true. I know ever since I was in high school, they've been telling me ever since high school, they said, do what you want to do. Just do what you love to do. There's kind of an extent to that, but as Christians, we're supposed to die to ourselves. And to me, that's what's biblical. I mean, I've studied it. I've went through the Bible. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's not talking about literally killing yourself, you know, but it's talking about presenting yourself, die to yourself each and every day. And that's what we got to do. And so, if I'm supposed to go after my own selfish things, well, how am I going to die to myself, you know? And so so we've got to be focused on the things of God. We all go through trials and tribulations, so let's help others get through them. Let's do that. And I've seen that so much. Whenever I get down and out, you know, when I start getting a pity party, you know, and start doing this and that, it's usually because I'm just focused on myself, isolating myself at the house, you know. But when I'm actually out, you know, and just had my friend over yesterday, and I'm kind of like a accountability partner in his life, and you know, when he's over, I'm not thinking about myself. I'm just thinking about how I can help him, you know, how I can serve him, and so it definitely helps. You know, the Bible talks about as iron sharpens iron, you know. So when you got two people you're trying to help, and it just not only does it minister to them, but it's ministering to you, and I found that so true to be in my own life. But the Bible says even to bear one another's burdens. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 6 in verse number 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Amen.
And so that's what He wants us to do. He wants to bear one another's burdens. And I think that's a great thing you can do on a Wednesday night. You know, you can come to church. You know, you can have some prayer requests. You know, you can say, well, hey, you know what? My week ain't been going too good, Pastor. I've been going through some stuff in my life, and my brother or my sister, someone in my family, they're going through some stuff. You know, you can kind of just build each other, you know. That's what a Wednesday night Bible study, I think, should be for.
Amen.
Be there for each other. Encourage each other.
Right.
And because this world is a terrible place out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you've seen the news. You know, it's easy to get discouraged about things. But you know what? There's so much other good that's happening around the world as well. And I can show you that. I can show you churches and missionaries all around the world, and just people just getting saved, you know, and God's still working. God's still doing a work all over the world. And so realize that. So know today that God cares for you. He wants all your cares laid at His feet. Know that He cares for you. And I think a lot of times, too, we get this apathy, don't we? We get this I don't care attitude. Have you ever had that attitude? You ever said that to someone? I know I have. You know, someone says something smart to you, you go, well, I don't even care. You know what I mean? When in reality, we do care. You know what I mean? We do care about different things. We say, well, that's not my problem. That's not my issue. It don't matter. But we truly do care. We really do. But what is our care on? And that's what I want to ask you tonight. What is our care on? Because we do care for something. The Bible even talks about that. You might have the cares of this life. But we can't worry about the cares of this life. We got to worry about the cares of the heavenly life. And so that's what we got to be focused on each and every day. And trust me, I'm preaching this to myself. That's why I had to write that devotional this morning. Because it's so easy. I think the preacher, you know, I've always heard it said, you know, when people get to preaching, they go, you know what, when I got to preaching and studying this message, I had to apply it to my life first before I could ever preach it to someone else, you know. And so it's so true. And I'm still growing. I'm still constantly trying my best to throw my cares on God. And that's what I've been trying to do each and every day. But I want you to realize that tonight, church, that God does care for you. He really does love you. And that's not just some cliche thing or something like that. God really does. And I tell you what, this morning, I don't know why, I just felt such a peace. And that's what God does, right? You know, the Bible talks about a peace beyond understanding. I don't understand it, but I have peace. I mean, amen. Even when I was going through those wrecks, you know, flipped upside down, you know, laying on tires, I had a peace about me. I don't know, it's just, there's a peace. And that's all through God. And I'm just so thankful for what He's done in my life. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. God, I love You, Lord, and I thank You, God. I'm thankful, Lord, for this day. God, I'm thankful, Lord, for this church, God, Northside Baptist Church. God, I'm thankful, Lord, for Pastor Sharp, God, and allow me, Lord, the opportunity, Lord, to be able to be here tonight. God, I don't deserve it, God. God, who am I? God, I'm just a little, just podunk country boy from Hartwell, Georgia. God, I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. But God, I'm thankful, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, that You allowed me, Lord, to use. And God, I love, Lord, the idea, God, that Pastor mentioned, God, about that one. And God, we truly, Lord, can, God, reach the world, I believe, by just reaching out to one person. And God, You've chosen, Lord, to use us. God, we might not like to admit that, but You have. You got a plan for each and every person, God, here in this room. And help us, Lord, to be able to realize that. And help us, Lord, to be able to reach out to that one person. God, help us, Lord, to think, God, of that one person, Lord, this week, God, that we could reach out to. That one person. God, help us, Lord, to think about that person, God, that might be struggling, that might be going through a hard time. Help us, Lord, to reach out to them, to care for them. Because, God, we know that You care for us. God, You know You want us to care, cast Your care upon Him, upon You, Lord. But not only that, but help us, Lord, to care for others, Lord. And I just thank You, Lord, for that. And, God, thank You, Lord, so much again for everything and for the opportunity, Lord, to be able to be here. God, we just give You all the praise, honor, and glory. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor.